Hey folks, if you've been tuning in over the last couple months, you've heard all about the Game Time app and how it can save you some serious cash on last-minute tickets to sports, concerts, all types of shows, Brian.
Yeah, you know, like the Lakers, like January, they're finally home for a little while. Like you can go to those games, but they're expensive.
Yes.
So get yourself onto the Game Time app. You can save as much as 60% by buying right before the game starts, and they want to get you in the building and all that.
And that is a massive savings, in particular when you're talking about a Laker game. And they are hooking you up for the holidays with a $10 credit. So here's what you do. Download the Game Time app in the Google Play or with the App Store and click on the My Tickets section of the app. Create an account, and under the billing section, there's the redeem code THEATHLETIC. That is one word. Use THEATHLETIC. All one word. $10 off your first purchase. That is free money, people. Credit is only available to the first 1,000 people who redeem the code, and it expires at the end of the year. That is December 31st, 2019, or as some people refer to it, Brian, tomorrow. So make your moves quick, score last minute tickets.
It's time to change. So
it's a podcast.
It's the Magic Hour, and this is Brian Kamenetsky with Andy Kamenetsky. And as you can tell, I hope my voice is trash.
Yes, it is.
I am given a certain amount of talking that I'm able to do over the course of a season. I apparently used it up 2 days too early.
This is your flu game, Brian.
This is. I as far as I know how this works is the minute the calendar rolls over, I get my voice back. I think physiologically that's true from a medical standpoint. But it is Monday, December 30th. The Lakers, this is the Magic Hour, on the Forum Club at the Athletic. A lot. The Lakers have turned it around, Andy. The last time we talked, Andy, they were in the midst of a losing streak. They
yes.
are no longer. Now they're
well,
in the
this
midst
was the
of
team,
a winning
Brian,
streak.
That promised us they never lose two games in a row. We turn around, they lost four.
Well, like as
a bunch of damn liars.
As you pointed out, once you lose two, they made no promises after that.
Well, yeah. I mean, plus, I mean, you might as well go ham.
They never said anything
about
three or four.
Experience what it's like to be a losing team. You know, drink it all in.
So the Lakers are now on the back on a streak. Two is a streak. They beat Portland on Saturday. Up in Portland, and they beat Dallas on Sunday, both teams coming off a back-to-back there. And it was what you would call, I think, a quality, ugly win. Neither team played particularly well, but the Lakers were excellent defensively, held the best offense in the NBA to only 95 points, did a nice job on Luka Doncic as well in the pick-and-roll game particularly. What I thought was interesting about that was before Andy had started Mike Trudell, who we know well, who does the sidelines for Spectrum, the broadcast, the guys who carry the Laker games, was asking Frank Vogel, you know, what do you think you'll do to try to counteract that screen and roll game that Doncic has been so dominant at? And, you know, it was a lot of Frank Vogel kind of talking around it. You pick your poison, you try to set up for the shots you can live with and this and that, but we have some thoughts and, you know, I don't want to give away the store before the game. Well, then they run for the first time all season, they run a zone. They hadn't done it all year long. I wasn't 100% sure, but anyway, they confirmed at the end of the game, like, that was it. That was first one. And it really screwed up. It screwed them up. It got in the way. And so the Lakers brought out this strategic change. I think it was obviously very successful.
I've started noticing, too, by the way, whenever teams talk about having something in store, you know, like a plan for a specific team that can become problematic, it's pretty much always the zone, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty much what teams run out when it comes to just
some form of it.
Right. Well, just trying to throw an opponent for a loop, you know, a little bit off balance, because teams just don't really run zone or practice zone much. They don't practice much. You know, we used to see it, though, a lot is when we would cover the Phil Jackson era Lakers, because they very often, like these Lakers, not have great outside shooting, and teams would often dare the Lakers to bust the
zone back then.
Yeah.
Huh. been around that long.
Yes.
I know that there was, the rules change made it a little more possible. But, certainly the teams have run it against the Lakers this year.
Yes.
To great effect. And, so it does. It's one of those things that gums it up that you wonder why you don't do it more. And Vogel after the game in talking about running that zone, he's like, well, first of all, it makes me nervous. Because they don't practice it very much. And this time of year, you don't get much practice, period. So, I think the concern always is, you're going to trot it out there, get lit up for three possessions, and then you've given up, 7, 8, 9 points, for your little cute little gimmick.
Well,
defense.
It's also too, as our friend Bomani Jones always says, zone is for cowards. So I think there's also the element too of if you run a zone and it doesn't work, it's kind of humiliating.
Right.
Not just trying. Like Nick Nurse, the Raptors coach, it's really proven to be quite a good coach over the last year.
And he'll do anything.
Right. He's known for doing anything.
You go back to last week when they were down by 30 in the third quarter too. I forget. Who are they playing? Dallas. And they came back and won that game because they just decided, you guys, what we're going to do? We're going to do a full court press.
Yeah.
Like it's high school.
Yeah.
And, over time, you think that these things won't work, but within 8 minutes they had eaten up that lead.
Right. But if you listen to guys who cover the Raptors, for example, or just cover the NBA really closely, they'll talk about how Nick Nurse, one of his great strengths as a coach, is just a complete and utter lack of vanity. He will just run whatever.
It's
why
won't guys shoot free throws underhanded?
Right. He doesn't care. If he ends up looking stupid, he'll take that chance if he thinks something works. And I'm not saying that Frank Vogel is or isn't vain. I'm just saying.
Terribly vain.
He
thinks this song is about him.
Yeah. Vogel, Jesus. Vogel really just, when you spend time around him, the first thing that really comes to mind.
Vain.
Is that guy, just vain. The self-absorption. and the lack of humility.
Stop talking about yourself, Frank.
But you know what I mean? It is one of those things that if you run it and it doesn't work, I think there's an element of humiliation to it.
Yeah, and
because you look players like you look like you gave up.
Players are good enough now that if you give them enough time, either you're too many open shots, whatever it might be, they'll figure it out. But last night, what it did with Dallas was, it changed the angles, it changes the looks, and just screws you up enough. I was talking to Mo Dackel, who works for Bleacher Report and pops on, podcasts and stuff on our network a lot. And he was saying, Doc will do it out of timeouts just because it's going to mess with what you've got set up coming out, off the whiteboard. And so this sort of strategic deployment, the Lakers picked a really good time to do it, especially, again, coming off a back-to-back. Maybe you don't quite have the same legs that you had, and you get in late from Portland, and it's a good offensive team. So kudos to them for trying it. Dallas was held to 36%. They only shot 30% from 3-point range. If they do that better, maybe the whole thing doesn't work, but they didn't. And so it was an interesting night in that regard. Also interesting, I thought, because, the Lakers cap off this month after it looked like it could go south. They finished at 9-5.
Yeah. And four of those losses came in succession.
And so, it's funny, when they were 7-1, you sit there and go, wow, they have an opportunity to just blow the doors off this thing. And so I don't want to say 9-5 feels disappointing, but where they were, you're like, they had a tough month. You go back and look at the whole thing. No, they didn't. Not with that schedule, not with who they were playing.
All we talked about was heading into this month, things now really start heating up for the Lakers.
Right. Can they win more than they lose?
Right, exactly. Can they be more than 500, that sort of thing.
And they did. And that was with AD missing a game. That was with LeBron losing a game. And so, and now you go into January and the new year where the schedule really opens up. They have the Suns who, I think we'd all agree, the shine has kind of come off that group. Which is disappointing. I was hoping they'd have a little more staying power. The Pelicans come into town on Friday.
It's going to be an emotional game.
It's
a
very emotional game. And they are actually starting to play well.
Yes, they are.
Derek Favors, apparently, it was the thing that was missing. Oh. And now they won 5 of 6.
Well, plus two, I imagine, with Derek Favors, unfortunately, the situation, he lost his mother suddenly, I think unexpectedly. That apparently, beyond it being understandably emotional for
Derek
Favors.
I just mean getting him back in the lineup.
No, but I'm saying I think it's something that, it sounds like from what I've read has affected the whole team.
Yeah.
He's a veteran leader on a young team.
Yeah,
I think they've missed him.
Yeah, he statistically has made a massive difference in terms of how they do everything. So you get the Suns and the Pelicans, and then the Pistons. Those are the next three games all at home. And then the Knicks. So, I mean, at the very least, you figure you should be able to win three or four of those. And you go on the road to Dallas and Oklahoma City. But then you get Cleveland and Orlando. We finally get to see the Rockets in the middle of the month. But point being, it's a lot easier this month than last month. You know, even with games against the Celtics and the Sixers and whatever, there are more lottery teams mixed in than before. I am genuinely, I continue to be genuinely impressed with how this team plays, with the way they play, the style of play. I mean, for all the Clippers putting up their billboards about how, like, the Hollywood and the entitlement and all this, this is not a fancy playing group.
No.
I mean, they have a lot of appeal. They're fun to watch, and they work really hard, and there's really nothing flashy about anything that they do.
No, I mean, I get what the Clippers are doing.
And, oh, so the franchise is still the franchise.
Right, sure. And it's obvious that they want to create, you know, they want to carve out their own identity in the city, and I get it. And
those plucky underdogs, the two, you know, they sign guys and
exactly.
owned by the billionaire. Sure.
Exactly. But I mean, their marketing campaign, as I wrote about recently for The Athletic, I mean, it's so obsessed with the Lakers, it's starting to border on single white female territory. You know, even taking into account, the Clippers are a really well-run organization.
Like, yeah, absolutely.
A terrific owner, terrific coach, great roster, blah,
There's
blah, blah.
There's nothing upstart about them.
But the Lakers are not, you know, to quote one time connected to the Lakers center, Joakim Noah, they're not Hollywood as hell this year.
No.
Other than LeBron's literal standing in Hollywood, this is not a team that's Hollywood as hell.
The franchise is Hollywood.
Yeah.
There's no question. It's anyway, the stars are back. And, you know, the other day, AD was sitting in Kevin Hart's lap and, you know, and then LeBron comes over and all that. Like, the franchise remains Hollywood. And now they have that Hollywood relevance back. And there's energy back in the building. And like I said, the stars are showing up. The style is not.
No.
They don't play offense well enough to be a Hollywood
team. They wish they were Hollywood as hell. It would make their lives a hell of a lot easier if they were.
There's no question about that. I mean, even last night.
You going to live through this thing?
We'll see. Even last night, you know, they score 108 points, and they shoot 48% from the field. But it didn't feel easy at any particular point. They had a little easier time in Portland, I think, scoring the ball. But like they were so good defensively on Sunday against Dallas that they got what they needed out of it. And then LeBron, who is turning 35 this week, or
he's
today.
Turning today.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, LeBron James, 35 years old.
What do you get LeBron James for his birthday?
You know, it's funny,
he's
actually.
He's got to be a tough guy to shop for.
Well, he was talking after the game about how he's not really, you know, a birthday wishes, birthday present kind of guy, although he has a party coming up, but even that doesn't feel like a present because he's the one paying for it. And it got me actually thinking, Brian, because LeBron, by his own admission, and certainly by the admission of, you know, his close friends, he's notoriously cheap. Like, the reason I have a Pandora,
good for him.
Well, I have a Pandora app, but I don't have the subscription. I do the version with the commercials.
Right.
I still have mine. And I'm not even kidding. The reason that I've convinced myself that this is okay is I heard LeBron once say that he doesn't have the subscription.
How many
for his
commercials
Pandora.
Are you talking about here?
Oh, Pandora?
I haven't listened to Pandora in a while.
Two or three, once every 2 to 3 songs. Sometimes
like
more.
One commercial?
No, it depends. It depends on how often you're listening. You know, it depends on how often you switch.
And how
station.
Much would a subscription cost, you cheap bastard?
Like $5 a month.
Bah, you don't do that.
Right, but here's the thing. I convinced myself that it's okay because I heard LeBron specifically say that he doesn't have the subscription for his Pandora either. And I'm like, that guy is on the verge of becoming a billionaire, literally, if he's not already.
Oh, he might be.
So if it's good enough for LeBron to go the cheap route, then it's good enough for me. But I was thinking about in terms of LeBron's party, Brian, like if he is, and again, by all accounts, he is this cheap, what's the sweet spot for the amount of money that he wants to spend on this party? Because on one hand, he likely, you know, he brought up that he's paying for it, so it's on his mind. But the flip side you got to make it look good enough.
It's got to be good because people are coming. It's like, dude, I know you're cheap, but it's also, I mean.
So like, what do you think this is? Like if you had to guess, 400K?
How many people are coming?
I don't know. He didn't specify.
It's an expensive party. He's not screwing. I mean, it's going to be, you know, there's going to be good food. And like,
I mean, you only turn 35 once.
Right? I mean, is everybody going home with like the party favor is like,
are there goodie bags like for adult Lamborghini? Parties?
I'm sure there'll be something people can take home. A little something, a little something. At Benjamin's 10th birthday, we gave everybody a box of Nerds.
Right. But I'm saying like,
they had a choice actually. Nerds or Sour Patch
Right. But
kids.
People, Benjamin, for people who don't know, is your son who just turned 10. And there were goodie bags.
I also paid for that party.
Right. But there were goodie bags for that particular milestone. And you do not have LeBron's means.
I do not.
I was just wondering, like, how much do you think that party's going
to
cost?
It's going to be an expensive party. It'll be fun. It'll be nice and all that. But I just, because, again, you don't want people leaving going, God, what an a-hole.
Like, come on, LeBron.
Because also, too, it's like, you know, you also purchase a gift or you come with something. You got to show up with something.
Right.
You can't do, like, a, you know, run to the 5-cent wine sale at BevMo and just pick up the first bottle you find. Like, you're going to LeBron's
especially
house.
Because LeBron knows wine.
Right, LeBron.
Like he's like a wine expert.
There's also a really good chance that if you're invited to LeBron's party, you're also rich.
Very and so good chance.
That means like LeBron knows, okay, I've got more money than you, but you've got more money than like most people. You're pulling in a couple mil a year. If you're Troy Daniels and you're invited to LeBron's party, I mean, we talk about these guys like they don't make any money. Troy Daniels is making well over $1 million this year. It takes most people a decade to make $1 million. He's doing it this year. So, I mean, you can spend a little bit more is what I'm saying. And LeBron knows if you cheap out on his thing, you know, like you bought that, but it was like clearly on sale or regifted or something.
Especially if he gave it to you.
Do you think LeBron regifts?
LeBron?
He gets. You know what? I guarantee he gives away a lot of stuff because
LeBron
he gets a lot of free
does
things.
Regift just because when you get so much. I mean,
is that regifting? LeBron gets product. He gets. I mean, he gets every free. You know, he's an investor with Beats. He gets all that. So he gets all of this stuff.
No, I'm talking
stuff comes into the house.
I'm saying
and you
LeBron,
give it away.
I'm saying I think and not to go.
No, I think
this
is an important rabbit hole to go down.
I do think that LeBron.
We should make a Twitter poll out of this. Keep talking.
LeBron, I am guessing, does regift just because I think he probably gets a lot of the same types of gifts. I imagine that LeBron gets a lot of stuff that he already has because the guy likely has everything. So at some point, unless you want to bother with doing the returns and stuff like that, or just let stuff pile up in your house, you regift it. Like I would imagine just out of necessity and practicality, Brian, LeBron is a regifter. And I don't judge him for this.
All right. So here's the poll question that I'm putting on. We have enough time left on the podcast so people will answer. If LeBron James or other celebrities gives away all the free product he gets to people, which he likely does, is that considered regifting? That's an accurate way to ask this question, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's not exactly what I'm talking about, but because like I said, I think he actually re-gifts a lot of actual gifts just because it is impossible to find something LeBron doesn't already have. I think that's different than what you're talking about.
Hmm. That's true, too.
And you clearly weren't listening as
you
were typing
up the poll.
No,
I was trying to do both. But right. I mean, that also adds a layer of complexity to the Twitter question.
It's difficult in 280 characters.
Right. So I'm going to go ahead and tweet that out.
Okay.
And we'll see what
That's
we get.
Fine. At Cam Brothers.
And again, yeah, I mean, like, or do you know what you do with LeBron? You make a donation. I think that's what you like. Go make a donation to a school.
Sure.
But not like a $15 donation. And can you make it anonymous?
No.
You have
to make sure he knows.
Because I like to make anonymous donations to things. It's like sometimes people are trying to like raise money. They have a GoFundMe and you don't necessarily need to make a show out of contributing. But if you're contributing to LeBron James for his birthday party, I think you actually have to make a show out of it.
Right. You just want him to know you got him something. I mean, you don't have to necessarily tweet that you got it. Like that would be making a show.
No, that's too much. Speaking of tweets, before we move on to LeBron at 35. My first reaction to the Kyle Kuzma Twitter flap, if you missed
call
it.
Call a spade a spade gate?
Yes. If you missed it, his trainer, Kuzma's trainer, tweeted out after the Clipper Christmas game that LeBron, you know, the Kawhi was clearly the one doing the work and the skill work and putting in the effort, and LeBron wasn't. His trainer, by the way, was notoriously silent when Kawhi was like 6 of 24 in the next game, but whatever. Kuzma, creates a flap because, as LeBron later would say, you put his name on anything, it becomes.
Well, and also, too, I mean, what really created a flap, what took it to the next level
this
was
is right.
Kuzma tweeted out, he says, completely unconnected to his trainer's tweet, call a spade right. with a shrug emoji.
And that, to me, is the stuff that his trainer put out is meaningless. It doesn't matter because, again, Kuz can easily explain, like, what do you want me to do? He's his own person, which is true. Kuzma says that that tweet had nothing to do, and they since deleted it, quickly deleted it, I think, had nothing to do with what his trainer put out. My instant reaction was the voice of Michael Corleone in The Godfather Part 2 in regards to Fredo, after he finds that Fredo betrayed him, when he turns to the family hitman and says, I don't want anything to happen to him while our mother is still alive. I have a feeling that should a death occur in the family, like, Kuzma's on his way to Sacramento or something.
I mean, I tend to believe Kuzma just because as he's... Yes.
Okay.
Because, as he put it, I think he's right, it would make no sense, particularly when you take into account he was about to get on a plane with LeBron.
I agree with
and
that
Kuzma
part.
And Kuzma tweets out random crap. And there's no currency or
Wasn't it a retweet of the guy's tweet, or was it just by itself?
It was by itself.
Okay.
I mean, like, and Kuzma tweets out random crap. Does. Like, he's, you know, he is still of that age where I think, like, you don't realize there's no such thing as an inside joke on Twitter or no such thing as a random thought. And look, I mean, if one day it comes out that this was directed at LeBron, I will own being wrong. I just see so little upside from Kuzma's perspective to taking Twitter shots at LeBron. Again, I might add, right before you're about to get on a plane with him. Kuzma's not dumb.
And it's, no, he's actually pretty social media savvy.
Well, he's pretty smart, period.
It's one of those deals that, you know, you kind of take him for his word and you move on.
And also, too, I mean, again, we don't know everything that happens behind closed doors. He and LeBron have always seemed pretty cool, which is the other reason that I believe him, because it feels incredibly out of nowhere. If this was really meant at LeBron, beyond the whole, the F are you thinking, man? Like, it seems completely out of nowhere.
I will say, I mean, I don't expect this to become a thing, because certainly if he was sort of, quote unquote, stepping out of line, Kuz, he's not going to do it twice.
Well, you know who Kuzma's first assist was to against Portland?
LeBron.
It was to LeBron. Set him up in a corner.
You go, LeBron.
You know what that is? Penance.
I will say this. At the end of, in Portland, when he was talking about it on Shootaround, and he and LeBron said that he wishes Kuzma's trainer the best. I don't believe
it. Neither do I.
That was very much like in the South, they would refer that as a bless your heart.
Mm-hmm.
That is not what he meant. He does not wish him the best.
No.
But let's talk about LeBron. It is his birthday. And the last two games in particular, he's riding a streak of 4 straight games with 10 or more assists.
Leading the league in assists.
And still averaging over 10, which is one of my preseason predictions that I think is going to end up correct. The last two games have been like this on steroids. He has 29 assists, Andy. 13 last night, 16 against Portland on Saturday. 3 turnovers. That is a 29-3 turnover ratio, assist to turnover ratio. That is absurd.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's got the ball in his hands always. And so a night like last night where he shoots 3 of 10 from the floor, he's still controlling the game. He scored 13 points. He controlled the game.
Yeah, his usage rate is like the infinity symbol. his fingerprints this season are all over games in ways that, by the way, through no real fault of LeBron, can sometimes be problematic in the sense that we've seen how when he's off the court, the offense sometimes struggles to function. Like, you know, they are really built, in a lot of ways, they are built to be dependent on LeBron. Particularly once DeMarcus Cousins ended up out for the season, because I think some of the playmaking that they were planning on got lost when he went down. But I mean, they are a very LeBron-centric team in the way that they're built to function, and that has put a burden on LeBron that thus far he's been exceptionally able to take care of.
Yeah, it's seeing who he is and how he's playing this year. Where he was good last year, averaged 28, 8, and 8. He was really good. But the level of engagement this year, and you know, with stakes being what they are, and now, you know, last year, even when they were winning, like there was no real thought they were gonna win a title. You'd go to the playoffs and win, maybe win a round. And that would have been cool. This year it's like, okay, they can really win a title. It's a different deal that we haven't seen since sort of peak Kobe at the beginning of the decade. To watch not just a great player, like an all-star caliber player, but a genuinely transcendent player, and the things that they can do and the things that they see that other players don't. And LeBron, the vision, the all that stuff, you know, just as it was with like Kobe and the footwork and Kobe and the vision when he committed to
Kobe had wanted to, he could have been a first ballot Hall of Fame point guard.
Yeah.
If he wanted to.
He could have averaged 10 and 10, easily. 12 assists a game. Absolutely. It's so much fun to watch. It's part of the reason this team is very appealing. Anthony Davis plays in a way that's very appealing to watch. And then because of that, because you have LeBron distributing and setting up everybody in the best spots, and you have AD, all everybody else has to do is just play really goddamn hard and do your job, go play really hard, and it's cool. It leaves them with virtually no margin for error. But if LeBron and AD are healthy, that could be enough.
Yeah, LeBron last night against the Mavericks hit the 9,000 career assist mark. He is now, I believe, ninth on the list, ninth or eighth. And the only player ahead of him on this list that isn't a Hall of Famer is Mark Jackson. Like the players off, this is off just off the top of my head.
I can look it up.
But like Isaiah Thomas, Chris Paul, Magic, Stockton, Kidd, Mark Jackson, as I said before, but just like you realize the company that LeBron is in as a passer. And it's been, you know, no secret how amazing a passer he is at his position or any position. But then when you think about where he is, Brian, on all the other all-time lists that he continues to climb up, we got a question on Twitter from Edgar Del Portillo. As LeBron crosses 9,000 assists, it got me thinking, has anyone gotten a career triple-double, 10,000 points, 10,000 rebounds, 10,000 assists? And I started looking it up, and to the best of my research, and admittedly, Brian, could be wrong.
10,000?
10,000 career points, 10,000 career assists, 10,000 career rebounds.
Huh.
Nobody yet, as far as I can tell. It's nobody. LeBron has a shot at it, because he's currently in the 9,000 range for both rebounds and assists, and he usually averages around 550-ish per season, something like that. So if he plays another couple of years, injury-free, he's got a shot at making this happen before his career's over.
He's 58th currently in all-time in rebounds. We'll move up this list.
But if it's not LeBron, to the best of my knowledge, it will be nobody. Because I went through, assists is the one with the lowest amount of 10,000 people.
Right.
And
even rebounds have fewer than you would think.
And the guys that I already looked, like guys like, I think it's Magic, Stockton, Mark Jackson, like they're not in.
No.
They don't have it. So if LeBron does this, I think he's going to be the only person who's ever done it.
That is
staggering think about.
Is he I realize count the rings and all that stuff. I mean, and I didn't see Jordan at his peak. I wasn't that into basketball at the time. I mean, I've seen Jordan. I've watched games, but I didn't see it live. And I think that makes a difference. LeBron James is the best player ever, isn't he? Like, I mean, I understand, you know, when you
define best as
I'm
just
not saying
most,
he's the winningest.
Right.
I'm
if you
saying,
define
is he the best,
best in terms of, I guess, most purely talented player, like the best at the skill of basketball than anybody else.
I mean, Jordan probably could have done a lot of these things, but he didn't. Like,
right.
It was a different era, whatever. It's not a slam, but I'm just saying, like, it's hard for me to picture when you see all the stuff that LeBron does and combine it with the winning. It's not like the guy hasn't won anything.
I think I really feel like the list is, as far as people that you can realistically put in this conversation, it's Jordan, it's LeBron, it's Kareem.
Kareem, I think, has had the best career if you take high school and college and pro into consideration. Like if you total up the entire
His talent was exceptional.
But I mean just the amount of winning that he did at every one of those levels. That to me is...
Those are the three guys to me that when you think about it, either defining it by count the rings or if you're thinking about it in terms of talent, I feel like it's the same three guys. I mean, because like, you know, as great as Magic was, you know, Magic didn't play defense the way the three guys that I named just did. You know, I mean, Kobe, Duncan, I mean, like those guys, I think maybe just a hair below, you know, Bird guys. I mean, you're really talking about just the true greatest to ever pick up a basketball in the history of like time and space. I think it's those three guys.
Yeah, and it just,
I mean, maybe Wilt. The only thing I'd say that's against Wilt is just the era.
Yeah,
hold it against him a little bit.
I think, but like you know, he's such a freak of nature for that.
Sure, for but I'd say like,
and then you look at it. I mean, to some, winning does matter, and he didn't seem to win as much as you would expect somebody that you know that dominant statistically to win. But and it doesn't matter if LeBron's better than Jordan or Jordan's a little better than none of this matters in the slightest.
Nothing bores you or me more than GOAT conversation.
No, I hate it. Because I don't care because it doesn't matter. It drives home like how much fun it is to watch guys like this play. The style is evolving a little bit and, you know, the assists are up and the scoring is down, but the ability to control a game is still there. And because of it, you know, like I said, we've seen the Lakers. And what they sort of look like as this big two with quality role players around them. And like, I think KCP is a perfect example of what that kind of looks like. When things are going well, like he has had a great December.
Yes, he has.
Which I think is fun to see because good God, was he bad at the beginning of the year. And like, he was getting booed at home. It was really ugly. And you know, he plays at 100 miles an hour. In a lot of ways, I think, Andy, like KCP is turning it around with fans for the same, in a lot of the same ways that Dwight is, where you can see how hard he's working. Like, he's trying really hard. And as much as he still does goofy things every once in a while, it's hard to get mad at somebody and really hate somebody as a fan when you can see they're trying as hard as they are.
And also that the effort's paying off.
Right. I mean, but even if it's not, even when it isn't, like,
I would disagree with that because KCP played just as hard during all those periods when fans were getting all over him.
But the difference is, especially in the last couple of years, like the winning wasn't there to go along with it. Like the Lakers were able to absorb the stretch where KCP was genuinely awful. And now it's like, it's sort of part of the character of this team. It's like these role guys just go out and play really hard. And look, if he's there's going to be a point at which people start raising their hands about Avery Bradley a little bit more than they are now because he's been terrible this month. Point differential is like -8 in the month of December, which on a team that is winning as much as the Lakers are is
that raises your eyebrows.
It's impressive.
Yeah. You got to win.
KCP by comparison has I think it's 5.5. I'm writing about him on a story that should go up on Monday at some point. By comparison, he's up in the fives. So, you know, to be that deep underwater, is pretty impressive. All right, before we get too much into the rest of the supporting cast here, Andy, Avery Bradley struggling on the floor, physically, mentally. We talk a lot about physical fitness, but there's another side to the game that's just as important. I mean, the mental fitness, that's what we're talking about. And Calm, the number one app for sleep and meditation, has teamed up with LeBron James to help you train your mind.
Yeah, I actually just downloaded the Calm app myself because life is incredibly stressful as a parent, as somebody who's working like 15 jobs at once, you know, as just somebody who's trying to keep themselves in a good mental place.
Where three of those jobs, by the way, are just selling blood.
it's a tough.
It takes a lot out of you.
Yeah,
absolutely. Those cookies only bring back so much.
But
energy.
You know what? They can't drain, Brian. They can drain my blood, but they cannot drain my brain. And that's, you know, an app like Calm will help me out with that.
For a limited time, our listeners can join LeBron in using Calm with a 40% discount to an annual membership at calm.com/forum. So you unlock the content to help you focus, you ease stress, you sleep better, and you get started at calm.com/forum. That's calm.com/forum. Okay, so the supporting cast. It's an interesting
deal.
It's an interesting deal. Really wish, you'll only hear one, but I really wish that hadn't taken three takes. I took a, that was talking that my voice didn't need. We were on a stretch before we quit. We were in a stretch where it looked
Ryan
like
died so this podcast could live,
so that everyone could get their discount at Comp. We were in a stretch where it looked like Kyle Kuzma was really coming around. And he had 24, I think, against Portland. And, you know, it was really, you know, it had three good games in a row. Then he turned around against Dallas and took an over.
Yeah.
Didn't scratch at all.
Nope.
He had as many points in that game as I did. It should be noted, I didn't score either.
That was assumed.
Any concerns?
No. The main reason being, A, he's come out of the gate pretty good in this return, but also he has said that he feels healthy. Like, this is the first time that he's felt good really since this season's begun. And I thought it was interesting when I asked Frank Vogel before the Denver game, when Kuzma returned, the Denver game at Staples, whether he was comfortable, Kuzma, right now with what they were doing. And Vogel was candid. He said no. But also that you couldn't expect Kuzma to be comfortable right now because he missed an entire training camp.
Yes.
He's missed a lot of the season being in and out of the lineup. He's got different teammates, a different role, and different expectations on this team. And that's a lot to be taking in when you are a young player expected to be taking not just a leap in your development, but a very specific leap. Like, you know, he has been penciled in by a lot of people, you know, myself included, as the potential third guy.
Well, he penciled himself in there before the season started.
Right, but I'm saying that's a very specific thing, and that's hard to take on as a role when you're working behind the eight ball from a place of disadvantage.
And, you know, so we got a taste of what it looks like when Kuzma, and he had 24 against Portland, 25 on Christmas against the Clippers, 16 in that loss to Denver, but it was still an encouraging game for Kuzma. Not really for anyone else, but that was a game LeBron missed. A taste for what it looks like when you have that guy there. And, you know, I was on Spectrum talking about this, like, it's with Reggie Theus, and he was making the point, like, the Lakers need that third guy. And ideally he'd be a third guy who can move the ball, who can do other things and all this stuff. But like, it really, what they just need is a third guy who every night or three out of every four games or whatever it is, you can say, that guy's going to give me 17 points.
Yeah.
And I know it's coming. And Kuzma just plays good enough defense that he's not hurting anything. And Frank Vogel has praised the effort, if nothing else. When you don't get that, you are back to this thing where you're trying to figure out where it's coming from on any given night. And if players go through the stretch that like Avery Bradley is going through right now, where you hope it's just a stretch, my concern would be that it's not. This has been the player that he's been over the last few years. I wasn't a big fan of signing to begin with. You know, you're starting to add pressure for players to be things that they're not necessarily supposed to be. You don't want Kentavious Caldwell-Pope to enter a game thinking, I got to put up 50.
That is the last guy you want putting more pressure on himself. You don't want
to be a scorer.
Right. You don't want Dwight Howard putting more pressure on himself to get out of character for a role that he's done really well in.
Right. The reason it works is because with LeBron and AD, everybody else can kind of stay in their lane, and their lanes can be very specific and very small. In the case of KCP, defend, hit an open three. And this month, he's over 40% three-point range. But the reason he caused so much frustration the last couple of years is because there were nights, thanks to injury or whatever it might be, that he's like, okay, I got to dribble and I got to score. And neither one of those things are healthy. Like, he can score, but you don't want him thinking about it.
He's gotten better as a driver this year.
He has. And you want him going to the line. Like, the Lakers need more people going to the line.
Yes, they do.
Part of the reason they were effective yesterday against the Mavericks, because they got to the line close to 30 times. And so, like, stuff like that makes a difference. But the minute players feel like they have to do a little bit more, these role guys, is when it's going to, you know, Alex Caruso is going to, you don't want him feeling like he's going to have to score, or Dwight, like you say. The exception to that rule is Kuzma, because that's what he's supposed to be doing. Like, in the same way, like, Rondo, you want him to feel like, I'm supposed to pass the ball to people. Like, if Kuzma doesn't think I'm supposed to get 8 assists a game, okay. But he is supposed to think I'm supposed to get 15 points.
I'm going to be obviously keeping an eye on any signs of regression because, like you said, and I've certainly been beating this drum a lot, wrote about it a lot for The Athletic. I think Kuzma is the key to this team reaching its highest ceiling possible. But it's one game after 3 good ones. But also, too, Kuzma only took 7 shots, which, I mean, I'm not saying it's an ofer, it's an ofer. But I would be more concerned if he had been putting up more shots and just looked more hapless than he did during this game.
Throwing the ball backwards.
No, but you know what I'm saying? Like, it just was a game where shots didn't fall. Taken more, you never know. I mean, you know, LeBron against the Clippers, I think, began like 0 of 7.
I will be interested to see whether it's sustainable because, as we've talked about, I am, relative to some people, a bit of a Kuzma skeptic.
Yes.
He's not good enough to be like every game he's going to, but 3 out of 4, you know, 2 out of 3, whatever it is, he's got to show up. And I hope that yesterday was the exception. The Lakers certainly hope that, but it'd be interesting.
No, otherwise you're in a position of having to hold a team like Dallas, the number 1 rated offense in the league, to under 100 points in order to win. And that is not a consistently winning formula.
Before we go, let's update the poll. If LeBron James or other celebrities give away all the free product he gets to people, which he likely does, I assume this is what LeBron does, is that considered re-gifting? What do you think is your guess? Are you looking at
it? I am looking.
Okay, so don't guess. 30% say yes. 70% say no. I'm going to be honest with you. I feel like that is more people saying yes than I would have predicted.
You know who's known, by the way? And we'll let you go because Lord knows you need to lie down.
I want to do a couple more calm reads.
Keanu Reeves is known for giving away like all the swag.
Well, it's pretty standard practice for most of these guys. Like, because when they get, like, if you ever get nominated for an Academy Award, you get all kinds of great
but
stuff.
But I'm just saying,
most of those guys give them away.
Sure, but there's some guys who, you know, I mean, look, if you want something and you're giving it a swag, I mean, there's no reason you can't keep it.
Sure, they keep
it. But I'm just saying, Keanu is known for like giving it all out. And it's part of the reason that he is known as like the nicest person in Hollywood and everyone loves Keanu.
If I ever get nominated for an Academy Award, keeping every last bit of that stuff, all of it, even the things that are like not for men. Like it's some sort of like dress or like a gift card to a women's store. I'm not even giving that to my wife. I'm keeping
for it.
All of it.
Mm-hmm.
I have nice calves.
Mm-hmm.
People say that. People comment on that all the time. Anywho, Happy New Year to everyone.
We
will be back probably next week.
Yes, definitely next week.
Our first podcast of 2020.
Excellent.
2020.
Looking forward to it.
Symmetry. Thanks, everyone.